Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, doing what I do best, separating hype from reality. And today, that means we're going to look at antioxidants, free radicals, inflammation, apoptosis, necrosis. We're going to put these concepts together. Yes, there's, for some of you, words you've never heard, but you must understand these, and you can, and you will by the end of today's show. Why is that? Well, a number of years ago, a famous chemist, biochemist, actually a Nobel laureate two times, one for chemistry, the other one for the Peace Prize, Linus Pauling was his name, started studying vitamin C and found it curious that human beings did not produce their own vitamin C, meaning gorillas, the chimp family, the apes, produced their vitamin C, that important vitamin, but human beings don't. And Pauling went on to hypothesized that this was because of a deleterious mutation when supposedly we took the jump from ape to man. Now, he started there. Now, by the time he started this many, many years ago, Pauling was already famous. Pauling was undoubtedly one of the great biochemists of the 20th century. He almost got there before Watson and Crick did, to discovering the double helical structure of DNA. No matter which way you cut it, Pauling was one of the kings. And after Pauling kind of withdrew into other levels of work, he got into this vitamin C thing. He spent the last 20 or 30 years of his life getting into antioxidant research. It was during this time he also won the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, he got very ecologically sensitive. He got very interested in the world as a whole. He was one of those great Renaissance men that just wasn't a scientist, but he was a statesman. True genius. And that's Linus Pauling. And Pauling opened up all our minds to this notion of antioxidant, which is what the body uses to quench free radicals. So these words got introduced into the American vernacular. And of course, once we started with vitamin C, well, we had the nutritionists of the day, Adele Davis, if you remember her, and others, all claiming that the thing that you needed to do is run to the health food store, pick up your bottle of ascorbic acid, ingest it at the appropriate quantities, and you would confer to yourself the benefits of these vital antioxidants. Now, this is in the early stages of research. This is backed and credited by a person few would doubt. And the nutrition people just jumped on this, as they always do, I think with good intention. And so the show began. If you were interested in health, you were going to make sure that you got adequate amounts of vitamin C. And of course, vitamin E followed vitamin C. And then as the years went on, we got into all the other antioxidants, from lipoic acid to CoQ10 and so on and so forth. And jumping to 2017, we have this wide array of antioxidants, whether you get it from nutraceuticals, meaning isolates, meaning you go and you buy your vitamin E. You don't get your vitamin E out of the food. You get concentrated dosages of vitamin E. Or whether you get concentrated dosages of vitamin C, or vitamin C with bioflavonoids, or whether you get it out of your foods, or whether you go get your CoQ10, or your lipoic acid, or your glutathione, or your superoxide dismutase. All these antioxidants fill this neutralization to the other word that was introduced, and that's free radical. So looking at nutrition the last 40, 50 years came this notion of antioxidant free radical. Most people, and it's not oddly enough, but most people really don't know what free radicals mean or are. And yet they're on the tip of everybody's tongue. So I want to start today's show by clarifying a little bit, in a simplistic way, what we're talking about when we say free radical and when we say antioxidant. And then I want to move to the guts of it, the stuff you can't get anywhere else. Of course, that's what I love to do. Take complicated subjects and kind of give you the important concepts. Not the data, but the concepts. And you'll see what this means as the show goes on. If you're new to the show, again, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's .cc with two T's. When you can, get on the website and look at show 326. All my shows, all 326 hours, 326 shows are recorded, and I put them on the site after I do the show so you can review. If you just give a little more, you'll get so much more out. So be sure to do that as soon as you can. All right, let's get to it. If you're on the website, let's just talk about the free radical. Very simply stated, all atoms, oxygen atoms, chlorine atoms, fluorine atoms, all atoms, all biological atoms like oxygen, in other words, atoms that are found in living organisms, have shells of electrons, layers of electrons around them. In the outer shell, the negatively charged negative electron is supposed to exist as a complete set. That outer shell is called the valence shell, and it's supposed to have a set number of electrons that makes it happy, meaning it's got all these negative charges that it needs, and therefore it's a neutral atom, meaning it's a non-reactive atom, meaning it's not void or minus an electron, and therefore has to run around the neighborhood, meaning your heart, your brain, your lungs, and go find some donor to the electron that it's deficient. Now that in the ideal sense, I mean for this story, in the ideal sense, is what we mean by an inert compound. Meaning, if oxygen as a biological atom is bonded to other atoms and running around your body, and in fact it's all happy in its valence shell, it's not going to react. But if through some process, external, meaning from the outside in, or going on within your organism itself, within the cell or in between the cell, that oxygen atom happens to have one of its electrons plucked. One of its electrons is taken away. Now we say that oxygen atom has a problem. It's minus an electron, and it becomes hungry. It becomes a maniacal terrorist, launching and spreading terror throughout the entire organism, looking to get that electron back. And that's what we call a free radical. A free radical is a terrorist looking to pluck an electron from your home, your house, your cell membrane, your organ, your brain. And the body's making free radicals all day long. In a perfect world, in the Garden of Eden, your body's still making free radicals all day long. Free radicals are part of normal physiology. Free radicals are supposed to exist. It's one of the things they don't tell you. But the flip side to this coin is true, and that is that there are things out there, things that are more part of the modern world, the industrial world, that accelerate the rate at which we make these unpaired electron shells, that accelerate the rate at which we produce free radicals. I'll use my infamous example, the Long Beach port. If you're living at the Long Beach port or working there 60 hours a week, breathing in that soot all day long, those diesel fumes, what's in the air that gets through your lungs and into your bloodstream is a potent source of what creates free radical, much more than your body's supposed to have. Now, it's just not if you live at Long Beach, if you live in L.A., if you eat the food you eat. Everything you know and that I've ever heard is bad for you produces more free radicals than you want. Now, that's a big deal. Of course it's a big deal. So you have to picture modern-day man as in an environment where he is producing infinitely more free radical than he was designed to create, to handle. Now, the word antioxidant comes in as a food, as an herb, as something the body makes and has always made and will make more of if the body's strong. And we're going to get to that later because that's the big one. The body makes antioxidants. Antioxidants are that compound which counterbalances free radicals. Antioxidants give the electron to the angry terrorist free radical. And you can get your antioxidants from food, berries. Go on Google and search the top 10 antioxidant foods, and you'll see all the berries listed. Or you could go to the store and buy your antioxidants. Buy your vitamin C, buy your vitamin E, buy your glutathione, buy your lipoic acid. So on and so forth. And of course, everyone's going to have a reason for you to buy theirs. And everybody's going to have a reason for you to buy it in the form that they tell you to buy it. I'm going to comment on that from my experience, which I think is enough to make a good opinion. But one thing I want to point out to you right now, and that is that let me tell you this. If you use antioxidants clinically, meaning to help people heal themselves. If you use antioxidants and you watch your clients, people who have serious health concerns, and you flood the antioxidants in, and you're sure they must be suffering from rabid free radical damage and thus the illnesses they're facing, and you watch them as they're flooded with these antioxidants from great sources, from the best sources that money can buy, in large dosages, dosages that must, in fact, neutralize all their free radicals. Flags fall from the sky, red flags. You never really see results that make sense. And you have to be curious about that. And so I want to define free radical, I want to define antioxidant, and then I want to say to you that as would make sense, modern man in modern society should be deeply deficient in antioxidant against the infinitely increasing list of things that cause free radical damage. And therefore, it should make sense that if you get well-sourced antioxidants, and we'll get into that, and flood the body with them, you should see some real return. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I have more than enough experience to say this. You don't. Which doesn't mean, so don't jump to conclusions. It doesn't mean you shouldn't take antioxidants. It doesn't mean you shouldn't use the concept. But if, in fact, our bodies were so free radical frenzied, and if, in fact, these antioxidants were so well sourced, when you take people who have real issues with their health, you should see improvements. Now I'll make my statement. That, oddly enough, you don't see. And the reason I'm going to say this is because the story of the antioxidant and the free radical and how they fit into the overall picture of health is a little more involved than you're told. So I want to harp on this, not to get you not to take antioxidants. No, that is not my point. But if you don't understand the big picture, if you don't understand how the web is weaved, then what you're going to do is what many people do. They stuff these things down their throats and they expect to get a return they're never going to get. Now, that part of it's wrong. That's why I do this show. And by the time I finish it, you'll understand how to use your antioxidants, but how to piece them into a bigger subset. All right, let's continue. Again, if you can get to the website, it always helps. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, and that's with two T's. If you're driving or whatever, you just keep multitasking. All right, let's continue. All right, so you've got free radical down. You've got antioxidant down. We'll talk about sources later. You got my point that there's something lacking in the experience of result when you take people who should need so much of this antioxidant against so much free radical damage, and yet you don't see quite the return you thought you were going to see, and that means we have to understand more. Well, what more do we have to understand? All right. Free radical damage, if in fact exceeds the body's ability to neutralize those free radicals, begins to exhaust the antioxidants that the cell makes. I don't mean it exhausts your ability to shove down more vitamin C. I don't mean it exhausts your ability to go to the health food store and buy more vitamin E or more glutathione. I don't mean it exhausts your ability to spend more money doing IV glutathione drips. I don't mean it exhausts that ability. It starts to exhaust the ability of your cells. Let's just make it a little easier and talk about an organ specifically. Let's talk about the brain. Let's say the brain is so free radical damaged, it's turning to mush-mush. And you're approaching 70 and starting to fear the fact that in 10 years, you're going to be sitting in a chair, staring out the window, and not knowing who or where you are. And that's the reality for a lot of people, so I said that one. So let's say that brain is in fact on its way. What will begin to happen as you lose the war is that the brain cells that make their own antioxidants, which are infinitely more powerful, infinitely more usable, infinitely more important than anything you're buying or eating, the cell's internal production capacity of the king of all the antioxidants, your intracellular glutathione or your superoxide dismutase, and so on and so forth. Your body's intracellular, the ones at home makes in the cell, in the brain cell, by the time you're getting into danger zones, your cell has lost its ability to keep up with its internal production. You are not going to fix that by IV drips at the local naturopath. You're not going to fix that at the health food store. And you're not going to fix that with your food choices. Even though they'll all help that, you cannot think of it in terms of, oh, well, yeah, I get it. I'm 60, my brain, or 70, my brain's disintegrating, or my liver, or whatever, my kidney. It's being free radical damaged and fried like bacon in a hot skillet. I know I'm on my way out, and so what I'm going to do is just put thousands of times the amount that I need. Because surely then I can turn this around. It doesn't compare to the fact that, I'll use the brain cell as an example, the brain cell must be brought to the point where it can produce enough of its own to dominate the production of the free radicals going on in the same cell. The free radical hits that the brain cell takes must be exceeded by the amount of antioxidant that the brain cell produces. Not that you ingest from the outside, but that the brain cell produces. The intracellular glutathione or superoxide dismutase or lipoic acid must hit a threshold that puts out the fire. Now, if you got that, if you can understand that, and if you can't, you'll get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and you'll hear it again. Because if you go on radio today, radio this week, everybody's selling you another antioxidant. And everybody's got these people on giving testimony to the amazing power of this and how this set of super greens has changed their life and given them all this energy and all these things. And it's good that people are taking good products. That's a good thing. But you see, it's a very small leap to this reasoning that you find prevalent in the healing community, which is, yes, I get the fact that I'm ravaged by free radical damage. And yes, that means give me two cups instead of one because I need more. I need so much that there's no way I didn't take enough when we don't even know what that means. And the truth is, the inside of your cell is laughing at you. Because it's saying, listen, if you think that's going to put out the fire up in your brain, you're out of your bird. Now, I don't have to speculate about this. All you have to do is think. All you have to do is use your common sense. All you have to do is spend 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, a lot of time flooding people who have health concerns with good-sourced, well-sourced antioxidants in large quantities across the board, diversified and perfected in every way, shape, or form we've ever known, and you don't see results proportional to what you would otherwise think. And you got to question what's going on. The guy to really listen to is Boyd Haley, department chairman, University of Kentucky. Boyd, B-O-Y-D, Haley, H-A-L-E-Y. He took his doctorate in biochem. He was department chairman at Kentucky. Just go online, YouTube his name up. Listen to him talk about intracellular glutathione, antioxidants, so on and so forth, and you'll begin to get these insights. All right. That's insight number one. Now let's get to insight number two. What happens as the body is hit with abundant amounts, massive amounts of free radicals, air pollution, radiation, infections, all the vices, you're smoking cigarettes, you're out in the sun too much, pesticides, petrochemicals, too much alcohol, too much fried foods, you name it, if it's bad, most likely, it's going to have some free radical producing dynamic associated with it. Let's say that's you. And let's say you just can't put out the fire. Let's say the amount of intracellular glutathione, intracellular superoxide dismutase that your body is capable, that those cells of that particular organ, say, are capable of producing, are in fact not enough to neutralize all the free radicals, and your cells start to fry. So maybe you're 30 years old, and you've got the liver or brain of a 50-year-old. Or let's say you're 50, and you've got the brain of an 80-year-old. You're on your way to trouble, let's say, because your cell can't produce enough internally. This means cells start to trigger the immune system. Because the immune system's always running around. Your macrophages, your lymphocytes, your NK cells, your killer T cells. They're always running around checking things out. And when they start to see little particulate matter from partially damaged cells, they blow their whistles. And when they blow their whistles, more immune system cells comes in. The SWAT team comes in. And you start this inflammatory mess. So, you can't use the term antioxidant. You can't use the term free radical damage. without understanding, you're really talking about inflammation, or at least one source of it. You're really talking about you, John Q. Smith. What's your inflammatory profile? Furthermore, what is it per square inch of your body? See, that's another thing. So for the doctors that are listening, it's a little caveat here. All these tests we do to try to determine where the antioxidant levels are and the amount of free radical damage and blah, blah, blah with all these Geneva diagnostic tests and so forth doesn't account for the fact that, as the structuralists will point out, bodies or body parts compartmentalize. They separate. If you're holding vast amount of negative emotion in a certain part of your body, that part of your body has sectioned off from the whole. And it can have its own very separate chemistry and physiology. So when you take these readings that really reflect on the systemic body, it overlooks the very likely possibility that you can look good everywhere, but one part of your body is about to fry. Little caveat, just want to mention that. But what I want to point out now is that as this inflammatory process increases and you lay down scar tissue, as a result, fibrin, as the fibrin in the intercellular space. So fibrin's not in the cell. It's between the cells, say, of the brain. Muck. The swamp gets thicker because of the fibrin that's laid down in response to the net free radical production. And that free radical production is about what's being produced, what's being and coming in from the outside. And your cells begin to derange and the immune system picks up on it. So you have partially deranged cells, a lot of fibrin in response to the immune system laying down all the fibrin, tons of free radicals coming in and not enough intracellular antioxidant to combat it. Look at that mess. You're downing antioxidants from the health food store, goji berries et al., turmeric, this thing about curcumin. Everybody's on the turmeric curcumin thing. Everybody's got a different product. Everybody's product is better than everybody else's product. And everybody's doing curcumin and goji and vitamin C and IV glutathione drips. It's all okay, except that next to what I just described, good luck. The inside of that cell can't produce the real antioxidant. And so now the space in between the cells is scarring up. So I'm talking about the brain now because we're going to pick one organ. So let's talk about the brain. So we start giving you MRIs or scans. Always get the MRI before the CT. The MRI is non-radiation. You're not getting radiated with an MRI. And what do you see? You see little plaques forming. Plaques, you know what plaques are? It doesn't matter what disease it is. Plaques are just really scar tissue. That it's a beta amyloid plaque versus another kind of plaque, it's kind of irrelevant. Plaques are the response of long-standing chronic inflammatory processes, all of which should have been dealt with long before you were predisposed towards making a plaque. But we don't test until you're symptomatic, meaning when you can't stand up, then someone says, oh, we ought to run this test on your brain. Oops, you got a bunch of plaques in there, but it's too late. So you're building all this inflammatory exudate. And so a number of things begin to happen. Now, one thing that begins to happen is that the cell starts to look stupid, meaning it doesn't function well. Let's say you're the early stages of Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. I don't know if senility fits this, but we'll throw it in just the same. Normal senile dementia may not work quite this way, but Parkinson's does, and I believe Alzheimer's does, and many neurodegenerative diseases do. Many diseases do. But what I'm saying is the cell begins to get useless. It begins to fall senescent, meaning senile, meaning it doesn't work right. This is happening tandem to something else, where the cell, being a form of its own intelligence, begins to locate or identify its own inefficiency. And this births the expression. I'll make that chemistry simple by saying it births the expression of new genetic deployment, meaning genes begin expressing that would otherwise not express. And the cell starts receiving signals through the genetic expression of its own cell to kill itself. It's called apoptosis. And mind you, apoptosis doesn't necessarily get triggered by an inflammatory process. So I'm mixing words and scenarios a little to get it to the audience. But what happens is, for whatever reason, whether it's inflammatory or it's just an attack that doesn't produce an inflammatory response, either way, once the cell, due to a pathological environment, begins to change its shape, not function right, one response to it that implies the expression of genes within the cell is a word called apoptosis, or programmed cell death. Which means as you change the environment that the cell is in, the cell, having a central junction box, its DNA, watches its cell become senescent or useless and says, you know what? We better kill this cell. We better kill this cell because this cell isn't good for the whole of the organism, the whole of the organ. The word is apoptosis. And cells under stress, due to usually pathogenic initiatives, often become apoptotic, meaning they start killing themselves. Now, what does this have to do with antioxidants? What does this have to do with free radicals? Once a cell becomes apoptotic, it starts signaling to other cells to commit suicide. So when you start to see degeneration of an organ due to free radical processes, when you start to see degeneration of an organ due to lack of intracellular antioxidants like glutathione, like superoxide dismutase, the stuff the cell makes, when you start to see degeneration of that cell, often it means the cell has decided to start committing suicide. Now, where it gets complicated and where it goes beyond the production of intracellular antioxidants, so we're bringing this to another level now, is the cell starts signaling other cells. There's a networking amongst cells. One cell is, in a sense, whispering to the other cell that it's time to die. And you set off a bonfire. You've taken the problem to a whole other level. And once you start bringing in the complexity, and there are complexities on top of that we're going to talk about in a moment, once you start adding up the complexities of what begins with free radical damage, if you add those complexities up at a certain point, you can take all the antioxidants from the outside you want. First, you don't have them on the inside. And second, once the cells are talking to each other and there's a panic in the neighborhood and the cells have gotten enough signaling, you're dealing with a whole other animal now. your brain, your organ is being ravaged through cellular suicide at accelerated rates. And you, the consumer, are left hoping that this is really about bringing back more antioxidant. From the outside, no less. And this is kind of my point. When you start really getting a better understanding of how bodies and cells and organs degenerate, early stage health concerns, early stage disease, mid stage disease, late stage disease, and you watch people running off doing all sorts of therapies, pot shotting, and this is my point. Those of you who have listened to the show before, you know my issue with pot shotting. Quick fix cliff note solutions to more complicated tasks. Lack of building a foundation against the massive wave of destruction that's already taking precious life away and just depending on quick fixes. So I don't want to be misunderstood here. Those of you into your antioxidant thing, hopefully getting them from foods or berries, I'll mention a few before the show is over. I don't want to stop you from doing that. That's not my point. My point is you just have to be careful about how a little bit of information you extrapolate out of that solutions to things that are ludicrous. And throwing mass dosages of antioxidants against diseases and degenerations that are already on another level is effectively ludicrous. If that's all you do. If you pot shot. If you don't understand the bigger picture. To stop cells from signaling to each other, you may have to shut off genes. Now, there's a dimension in science called physical chemistry. It's tougher than biochemistry. Physical chemistry is probably the closest bridge we have between biochemistry and biophysics. Physical chemistry deals with the amount of energy required by a system to turn a system around. When we say something's happening, there are chemical changes taking place, and the cascade of chemical changes is irreversible. Well, first of all, it's questionable that it's even irreversible, so let me tell you that. But I don't want to get on that one. What I do want to say is, in the classic sense, when it's said some molecular bond has changed, and now that it's changed, it won't go back the other way. The change is irreversible. It means the amount of energy required to reverse it pushes the possibility into next to zero. It means it's too tough to do. It means that the change that may mean loss of function, the change that may mean deterioration, is more stable. It is more energetically happy, in a sense, than to reverse the change. We say the physical chemistry of it sends the equation in a certain direction that's not good for your health, but which now makes a more stable bond. Which means it's very difficult to reverse it. And by the time you're midstream with an illness, by the time you're on your way, by the time things are serious, by the time you're not living the life you needed to live, by the time the writing is on the wall, you have to put, therefore, enormous amounts of energy back into the body. You have to build reserve to such a point that you can take that reserve currency and throw it at these otherwise irreversible processes. If a gene is supposed to say silenced, if genetically speaking a gene is supposed to say silent and its silence is in your favor, and for reasons described and others I haven't described, that gene begins to express, To get that gene to shut off requires a lot of work on your part. Part of which will mean you've got to remove all the things that create free radicals. You've got to look at your life like a checklist of the food you eat, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the sleep you get, everything. All 326 of my shows, all 326 of anybody's shows. You have to really get profiled. You got to find out where the big killers are for you. For you over there, it's your sleep. For you over there, it's your emotional life. For you over there, it's your teeth. For you over there, it's your food choices. You have to profile yourself out to remove the things that drive free radical damage. That is number one. Number two, you have to look at your process as building the health of the cell by throwing so much energy into the health pot, into your particular health portfolio, that you begin to build a surplus so that the cell can begin, in the balance of trade, to produce more of its own intracellular glutathione and intracellular SOD and intracellular CoQ10 and so on and so forth. By right living, and I mean intensely applied right living, you have to know how to activate. You have to master health. You have to master health against this barrage of insults it's taken over 5 or 6 decades. And you don't have a lot of time. So it really is a very uprooting issue. But don't you want to know what you're up against? If you're really sincere, and so many of you are sincere and spinning, and you're spinning because nutrition too often is extrapolated out of a basic truth and just given you a Cliff Notes version of it. Like your illness is a matter of free radical damage that these antioxidants bought at a health food store or done through an IV drip are going to neutralize and fix, and you're out $20,000 after 4 weeks of IV drips. And yeah, you're a little bit better. And in another month, you'll be back where you started from because there's no foundation being built. I don't think I've ever said it better. You have to build the foundation. If you study the science, you'll find out why you have to build the foundation. So one, you've got to remove the stressors. Two, you've got to understand you're silencing genes that expressed that need to be silenced, or vice versa, depending on the situation. Now, getting into the third part of this, whether too many cells have died, committed suicide, or whether the cells have died because they've become necrotic. Apoptosis, necrosis. Apoptosis is cellular suicide, where cell signals can begin to expand in dangerously accelerated ways that are generally not off inflammatory processes. This is apoptosis. And which require large amounts of surplus energy to reverse because it implies shutting off genes. Now we have another process called necrosis. The more classic process here is necrosis. Again, the buildup is very much like I described earlier. Free radical damage, not enough antioxidant, deposition of fibrin, a true inflammatory process. Apoptosis is not. And what you're left with necrotically is just dead cells and tons of immune system cells in there to clean it out. Either way, apoptosis, necrosis, what do you've got? You've got less functional cells. With necrosis, you've got not only less functional cells, but you've got a ton of damage to clean up. Apoptosis less so, but still, you've got cells that have dried up, shriveled up, broken down, and it's its own form of a garbage dump also. Meaning what? Meaning, if you want to turn it around, if you want to regain your health, you've got to bear the cost, the time, the energy that it takes for your body to go in there and clean up the dead cells. Because you can't plant new ones, you can't build new ones, if you don't take out the garbage. The liver is regenerative. The kidney to a point will regenerate. The brain to a point will regenerate. We don't know what the limits are. All this stem cell stuff. Yeah, we can just forget everything I've said. And if your brain's degenerating, I'm sure modern medicine over the next 10 to 20 are just going to throw those stem cells in there and just grow you a new brain, right? That's the pipe dream. And whether it's a pipe dream or not, what it's overlooking is the body's got intact mechanisms to do this, but they don't function quick fix. They don't function cliff note. They gave John Gurdon the 2012 Nobel Prize for making pluripotent stem cells out of your skin, bypassing the need to use fetuses and all the other stuff that created great ethical issues. They gave him the 2012 Nobel Prize, and, you know, you've got stem cell seminars all over the United States just for doctors and even for the public now, because we see this as the future blessing. But you see, it isn't going like they thought. It's already not going like they thought. Because the Cliff Note version doesn't work. Once all those cells are damaged by the processes I've described, the matrix of the cell, the spaces in between the cells are all scarred up, are all littered with garbage. And the body's got to go in there and clean it up. And the body has immune system cells to go in there and clean it up and to reconfigure the intercellular space. This takes time. This takes energy. You have to have a reserve of energy. There is a process over time that will allow this to occur. This is why healings take time. So when you understand that your disease, your illness is free radical generated, the notion that you're basically going to stop the whole thing and just regrow it and rebuild it and return to health on the basis of multiple levels of antioxidant therapy, this is a very myopic perception, which shouldn't lead you to conclude that you shouldn't honor it for what it's worth, but you have to see it in the context of the big picture. And that is the point I'm making today. Pissinger's book, The Extracellular Matrix, a book I've mentioned many times. Even if you don't read it thoroughly, get it anyway. Pissinger wrote that book as a foundation for another type of medicine. And what he was saying is that the healing is all not in the cell, it's in the space between the cells. And what he was saying is, if you don't clean that carpet in between the cells, you cannot grow new cells. You can't even repair damaged ones, not with efficiency. And at the expense of doing that, which is a process, you cliff note it to all sorts of injections and infusions of things that are supposed to make these miracles happen. You don't get what people promise you. You know, there are healings. For every disease, there are people that go out and heal. They're there. But they're few and far between. And I want to submit to you, my audience, that they're few and far between because people don't understand what's necessary. They don't bring perspective to it. And if you go out and really read the case histories, the testimonies of people who were sick, sick and sicker, that have stood up once again and said, I'm glad to be alive. I feel good. Invariably. Those people went into processes over time where they built their health from the grassworks up. They just decided to buy into a more logical, rational perception of how to rise out of the ashes. You know, it cracks me up. I'll say this to people and they'll say, yeah, I know. But, you know, people like the simple solution. Often when I try to explain this to people, that you've got to build it from the foundation up and not get sucked into claims that are just sensational. The people listening will often turn around and say, yeah, but people like the short-term solution. Yeah, but you see, there is no short term. There is no solution. If you want to say people want to rot to their grave, clinging to an illusion, if you want to say that, I get that. You can make a case for that. You can make a case for people who are in bad shape are better off not knowing and just clinging to a dream that's never going to come true. And who am I, who is anybody to take that away from somebody? But my audience, and what I'm saying to you today, is I know many of you are looking for reality. And I know many of you are deeply frustrated because you don't feel like you get reality. You spin and you spin and you spin to many claims that are made. And at the end of it, time, money, and energy, it comes up short. There's no shortcuts. Not if you're at the point where you're sick of being sick. Not if you're at the point where you're into something and it's starting to take valuable life experience away from you. If you're in the early stages of disease, at that point, you don't have a quick fix solution. It doesn't work that way. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. My experience against 25 years is there's lots of good people out there who really are serious about doing something and not continuing the suffering. But they can't get the information. There is too much hype. No one has experienced this more than passionate doctors. You go to chiropractic school, you go to acupuncture school, you go to all the different schools, you work with all the different people, and you start to see that there's hype and reality. And once you start to separate the two, you start to get a sense of what really, really works. And yeah, I know, that's a cliche. This really works, unlike what everyone else says works. Take this piece of advice against your life experience. What really works is building a foundation. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything you have ever mastered in your life? What your respective profession is about, whether you be a lawyer, an accountant, whether you drive a truck, whether you own a company, whether you're a tailor. It doesn't matter. What have you acquired in terms of mastery that didn't require building it from the foundation up? Did you take a shortcut to the top of your profession? What would you say about a nephew or a son or a daughter that said, I want to be the best at what I do, but I'm going to take the shortcuts, Dad. Mom, I'm not going to work hard and build it from the ground up. I'm simply going to be smart and take all the shortcuts there. What would you, after 30 or 40 years in your profession, tell a loved one? And this is my point to you. So if you want to live in a delusion, well, maybe that's your right. Who should take that right away? But if you are serious about digging yourself out of the health hole, you have to understand it from the foundation up. Now, free radical damage, antioxidant, intracellular antioxidant, building the cell energy so the intracellular antioxidants can begin to activate, taking out the free radical perpetrators, the terrorists. All of this, and there's so much more, apoptosis, necrosis, rebuilding the ground matrix. Who's the construction foreman? Who is organizing all of this? Well, in a better scientific model, we would be allowed to say God. But you can't say that. But what you can say is, picture 34, picture 35, picture 36, picture 37. What you can say is that there are centers in the brain, particularly the hypothalamus, that mediate through the autonomic system, through the cerebral spinal fluid, through the cranial rhythms, through the dural system, through the fascial system, electromagnetic pulses that tell the cell what to do, when to do it, and when not to do it. Everything I've talked about today is regulated through the neurological system. And that's a whole other science. Now look at that. That's a whole other show. Everything I've talked about today is really and truly under the dominant control of the neurological system when the nervous system's off. Everything I just talked about chemically goes in the wrong direction. That's why in the end, you're looking up at the Lord. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If this show has made sense to you, if you find yourself lost in the labyrinth of poor health, 714-850-1007. Give my office a call, come in, sit down, make the appointment, and get put on the right track. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.